Hey, welcome to The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson. This week was one of the most memorable news weeks in years. Christine Blasey Ford testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee this week, alleging that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her as a teenager. Kavanaugh appearing even more emotional than Ford in his rebuttal, denying everything. Kavanaugh wouldn't ask for an FBI investigation, but Senator Jeff Flake and a few Republican moderates have asked for an FBI investigation in the next week. So let's talk about all of that with our panel. Gloria Allred is an attorney and one of the leading advocates for women's rights in the entire country. This week, she was in Pennsylvania with her clients at the Bill Cosby sentencing. More on that in just a bit. Brian Goldsmith is the co-host of the Katie Couric podcast. This week, he and Katie put out a special episode about their game-changing Sarah Palin interview. More on that in a bit. Sean Steele is a Republican National Committeeman from Orange County. Here he is with President Trump during a recent SoCal visit. Let's begin with President Trump and his nominee for the Supreme Court. What do you make of all this?
Well, Alex, I always believe the truth matters, but apparently it doesn't matter to the Republican majority of the United States Senate, because if it mattered, Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh would have received a fair hearing. They didn't. It was just political theory, political theater, because what is a fair hearing? It means notice and opportunity to be heard and fairness. It means calling all of the witnesses, subpoenaing them. Why were they excluded from this hearing? Is it because they didn't want to know the truth? They just want to jam through this nominee of President Trump. This is a disgrace. It undermines the confidence that we all are entitled to have in the United States Supreme Court and any justice who has the honor of sitting there.
Sean, how do you respond to that?
I have the greatest respect for Gloria. Nothing she could say would make me change my mind.
I feel the butt coming, though.
However, I do disagree. This was two compelling witnesses were under scrutiny by some very smart people in front of a national audience. Both gave credible testimony. And I believe that something terrible happened to Dr. Ford, but I don't think she has... I'm pretty clear she doesn't have the right person. They both give credible testimony. You have to look at the evidence.
How do you know that it wasn't the right person?
The problem is you can't prove a negative and you can't prove something if she doesn't have any collaboration behind that.
Well, she does, but apparently the Republicans don't want to hear from the witnesses who would have to collaborate. The Republicans have agreed to have one more delay.
Remember, Feinstein sat on this for 45 days. She could have shared it, protected her privacy. Somebody leaked her name to the press on her team. It might have been her lawyers. We don't know yet. We're going to find out. But this could have been done without her name ever being revealed, given it to the FBI. The FBI would have looked at it, would have investigated it. But it looks to most Americans like a last-minute dirty trick.
The deadline is artificially set by the Republicans.
Let's get Brian in there.
Two compelling, credible witnesses. You want to think about the incentives. Who has the incentive to lie and who has the incentive to tell the truth? Dr. Ford has absolutely no reason to be there to destroy her life, to kill her family's privacy. And of course, Judge Kavanaugh has every reason to get on the Supreme Court and to push this aside. You know, when I think about Judge Kavanaugh's performance yesterday, I think of two words, partisanship and belligerence, which are two qualities you don't particularly want in a Supreme Court justice.
It used to be he said, she said. It's actually she said, they said. Every person that she named has signed affidavits saying that this event didn't happen.
No, they didn't remember. That's what Judge said. He signed yet another affidavit that was published yesterday.
All he did was speak to his attorney, who then sent a letter.
They all
and
have
said
attorneys.
That he's doing it. He's doing it under penalty of felony. That's absurd.
He didn't declare this under penalty of perjury. You want to torture by rack? He didn't appear before the
United States Senate Judiciary Committee. Why? Because they didn't subpoena him. And they could
Here's
have.
The thing.
Why are they
if
hiding?
Were,
They're hiding the
truth. Gloria and Sean, if I were falsely accused, mm-hmm. I would behave a little bit differently here. I would say, please, FBI, come on and investigate the hell out of this. Okay. This didn't happen. And I would also say, the guy in the room with me who can prove that this didn't happen, I'd want him to come forward.
So let's talk about what happens next, because now we've had Jeff Flake saying that there should be an FBI investigation. Where do we go from here? Sean, where do you think Republicans go from here? And do you think that they... it's good politics after all of this to confirm him?
Well, look, all the time in the world has been given, extra time has been given, special consideration has been given, and I think we're going to get another week with the FBI, and I welcome that. Now, that's not a traditional Republican position. I want the accusers, especially some of these nutballs that have come across recently accusing Kavanaugh of gang rape, I want them under oath to the FBI, and I want a U.S. prosecutor to prosecute anybody, including Kavanaugh, who is lying on the record to the FBI.
Well, here's what you don't want. What you don't want is them to be able to testify before the American people under oath before the committee that has to decide whether or not it should be sent
I'm convinced
to
of one
the
thing.
Full Senate.
You and the Democrat left will never be satisfied.
Well, let me
have a never finite error.
Well, you don't know that about me any more than you know it about the other accusers. You're just jumping to political conclusions.
But I'm pretty
I'll
bet
on nonsense.
Yeah. The FBI is going to make a determination in five or 7 days. Once they do, you won't be satisfied. I'm pretty sure you won't.
Well, the FBI doesn't make the ultimate decision.
Oh, well, there
the
you
senators
go.
Senators decide. They're the ones that
Brian will give the last word.
I don't know what happened in that room 35 years ago, but here's what I do know politically. Senator Flake threw the rest of the Republican Party a lifeline here, and it would be very smart, given their position with female voters, to take it. They could have an equally conservative Supreme Court justice who is not accused of sexual assault. Justice Gorsuch, appointed by President Trump, was never accused of this, equally conservative.
By the way, Dr.
That's a good place to end, but around the table real quick, at the end of this, is Brett Kavanaugh going to end up on the Supreme Court, yes or no?
Of course.
I don't know.
Potentially, yes, and Republicans, many of them, will lose their seats over this vote.
All right, well, up next, another big story of the week, the Bill Cosby sentencing. Gloria Allred was there. We're going to talk to her and the panel about that when we come back. Well, Bill Cosby had all the moves back in the 80s. Unfortunately for his victims, too many of those moves turned out to be felonies. This week, more than 30 years later, the sorry spectacle of America's dad in handcuffs headed to prison for 3 to 10 years. Back now with our panel, Gloria Allred, Brian Goldsmith, and Sean Steele all with us. And Gloria, you were there for the sentencing in the room. You've represented several of his alleged victims.
33 accusers.
What did that moment mean to you? What did that moment mean to them?
He has been made accountable. There has been justice in a criminal case in a court of law, which is more than I can say is going to happen in the United States Senate, but because that's not a place where there's any kind of due process. He was afforded all of his rights. He had a number of excellent attorneys, but in the end, the jury convicted. And I understand from some of the jurors that part of it was because other accusers, and I represented three of the five in the last case who testified, were believed, and they were important in the jury's decision to convict him.
Brian, what does this mean for Hollywood? Because this is a big moment, especially for this town. He was such an important player in this town.
Well, first of all, more than 60 women came forward, many of whom he drugged and raped. So my only question is 3 to 10 years enough for what he did? But you got to look at the culture of enablers. I just find it very hard to believe that there weren't people at the time who knew more about his behavior and decided it was in their career interest, their financial interest, to stay quiet. We need a culture of coming forward and protecting women, not protecting the big stars.
Sean, you're an attorney. Is this a game-changing moment, do you think?
I think it's a cultural shift. I think it's terribly important. My wife read all of his books. We adored him. America's dad. He was an African-American being America's dad that cut through the color lines. And inside of this entire experience is a monster, a predator, this unspeakable damage and cruel, torturous things. And I think every male in the world needs to think about this. I think it's a turning point. I think Gloria taking this case when, frankly, I doubted its merit early on, but it kept growing and growing. Gloria wouldn't give up. She came up with amazing legal theories that I wish I had that kind of imagination. But ultimately, the turning point came across and justice was done.
We'll be back with more of our panel a little bit later in the show. Up next, though, an exclusive congressional debate right here on The Issuist. Yeah, it's all about Cali. And welcome to our first Issue Is congressional debate. We're less than 6 weeks from the midterms. A key battleground for the House is California's 39th district. The district spans three counties, includes such cities as Yorba Linda, Diamond Bar, La Habra, Buena Park. 65% of residents in the district are people of color, with Latinos and Asians making up the largest group. For the past 15 years, the district has been represented by this man, Ed Royce. But Royce not running for re-election, the open seat being fiercely contested. Check out this Monmouth University poll released September 18th. It shows essentially a toss-up. Republican Young Kim with a slight edge over her Democratic rival Gil Cisneros. The lead is within the margin of error and 12% still undecided. Both of those candidates are here with us tonight. But before we hear from them, a little background on each of them. Young King. Kim is a former California State Assemblywoman. She was born in South Korea, has a bachelor's degree from USC, and is married with four children. Gil Cisneros is an 11-year Navy veteran with a master's degree from Brown. After winning a Mega Millions lottery jackpot, he became active in philanthropy. He's married with two kids. Gil Cisneros, Young Kim, welcome to The Issue Is.
Great to
Hello.
Be here.
Thanks
Thank
for having
you.
Us.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so this is going to be sort of an informal discussion, mm-hmm. and by way of coin toss, we're going to put the first question to you, Young. What is the biggest difference between you and your opponent, the most important thing you want people to know going into the election?
Sure. I think the main difference between me and my opponent is that I am living there, I have raised my family there, I represented the district in the California State Assembly, I worked in the district throughout the entire 39 congressional district as a congressional staff. This is the community I know. These are the people that I'm running to represent. This is personal to me. These are my friends. These are my neighbors. These are my community. They have seen me over and over how hard I work to represent them, and I'm going to continue to do that. That is the main difference between me
and
my
opponent. Mr. Cisneros.
Well, you know, I've served my country throughout my life. I joined the Navy at 18 years old. I've been dedicated to service. The work that we do now through our foundation is to really give kids from these underserved communities a leg up and really give them the same opportunity through education that I had, because we know it's going to make a difference in their lives, their families' lives, and in the future of our country. I've been part of this district. Me and my wife owned a business in this district. My wife is from this district. She went to Esperanza High School, you know, in Yorba Linda, where we live now. We moved there to be closer to my in-laws so that our kids could be raised by their grandparents. Our first dates were in the district, right there on Birch Street in Brea. We used to go to the movies all the time. So we've been part of that district, and I'm happy to be there, and I love living in Yorba Linda in the 39th district.
Well, let's talk about some of the issues that are most important to the district, and let's begin with the issue of immigration. I'll go to you first, Mr. Cisneros. Should there be a pathway to citizenship for people who are now here illegally?
My wife and I have had the great experience of working with so many DACA students, kids that were brought here through no fault of their own. This is the only home that they've ever known. They want to make a contribution here. We need to get that energy and really use it and allow them to really make a difference. Like I said, this is the only home that they've ever known.
So that sounds like a yes.
Yes.
Ms. Kim.
Yes.
You know, when I talk about immigration, I'm talking about in a sense of being fair. My family and I came here legally to realize the American dream, and many people have waited in line to come through that system to realize that. So no one should cut through the line. And we also need to be compassionate. And I agree, we need to fix DACA. They've been here for generations, for three, four decades. America has invested so much in them, providing them public education. They need to be able to stay here through some sort of a pathway to legal status. Once they get that legal status, they need to wait in line, just like I have and many people have done. To wait 3 to 5 years before they can apply for citizenship. No problem with that. But also, when I talk about immigration system that works, we need to secure the border. So many people have come across the border, and so we need to be able to identify who are the bad actors versus the good people that are not breaking the law, like DACA recipients. We need to be able to help them.
Well, I think this is where we differ, right? I want to protect the border. That's one of the reasons I served the military, was defending our nation. But we don't need to do that by building a $30 billion wall. It's probably going to end up, when it's done, costing $50 billion. One of the president's supporters called it a more symbolic gesture than anything else. There's a lot more that we can use that $50 billion with than on a symbolic gesture.
Yeah. Let me remind you, California already has a wall that, you know, that's at the Mexico border. So if securing the border means, you know, beefing up more, you know, border patrol, I would be supportive of that. But we need to secure the border so we can stop the flow of illegal immigrants and protect the border.
Is that it doesn't matter what the Republicans say, the border is never going to be secure enough for them. I mean, we have a president as a do as I say, not as I do. And unfortunately, young Kim agrees with the president. The first lady just was allowed to sponsor her own parents to become citizens of the United States. Our president's trying to get rid of that. Yeah. We need to make sure the families reunited and make sure that they're not being torn apart like they were at the border.
Let's move on to another issue. Let's go to the issue of health care. Obamacare, one of the biggest debates of the last congressional session. Mm-hmm. Is Obamacare a good policy? And if not, what should it be replaced by?
There are good provisions that I would like to see it continue. Remember, I'm a mother of four children, one of which had brain tumor and had to live with two open brain surgeries, so she's living with an pre-existing condition. I need to make sure the discussion of Affordable Care Act, we need to ensure that pre-existing conditions are there so people can be insured. And also, having raised four children, I want to make sure that children through the age of 26 are adequately covered through their parents.
So would you have voted for that Obamacare repeal?
I don't support the full Obamacare repeal unless these two key components are intact.
Okay. Yeah. Healthcare.
Yeah. I mean, definitely we were in Buena Park talking to a community center that serves the Korean community. And the executive director there told us so many people are able to be insured now because of the Affordable Care Act. It's given them thousands of people the chance to really have insurance that didn't have it before. I talked to a young mother who was worried that the Trump administration and Republicans are going to take away the protections for pre-existing conditions. She has a daughter that was born with a heart defect. They've already spent $500,000 on her health care, and they're worried if they take away those protections, how are they going to do that into the future?
Yeah, quickly.
I mean, healthcare costs are rising. Of course, we all know it's very, very expensive. So we need to make sure that whatever discussion we have, we need to do it in a bipartisan way. We need to allow the market to provide more competition so we can lower the cost. We need to have a transparency in prices. We need to be able to allow generic brands to be also provided. We need to have an accessibility that gives individuals the right to choose what healthcare plans are better for them.
I would say this is an issue that's personal to me because my family's been without health insurance. My mom went 16 years without health insurance. My dad, when he developed diabetes, used to drive down to Mexico to get his diabetes medication because it was so much cheaper there than here in the United States. But yet my opponent is taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from insurance companies. She's taking money from Big Pharma so that they can keep the price of insurance up, keep the price of health care up, and keep the price of drugs up.
I'll let you respond to that, and then we're going to move on.
You know what? I am very proud that people do see that I have a very credible candidacy and I'm running a very positive campaign. You know, people can support my campaign because they believe I'm the best candidate. No one's going to dictate how I vote or, change my mind on what I believe in.
Speaking of allegations, there's this allegation out there about you, Mr. Cisneros, mm-hmm. that has gotten some publicity saying that you were offering a donation potentially for sex. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that.
Every legitimate news source or news outlet that's looked into this allegation has seen that it's false, that the story just doesn't add up. There are multiple eyewitnesses, including an Emmy Award-winning television journalist, that can vouch for my whereabouts on that night. This is just simply Paul Ryan's super PAC that's being funded by corporations and dark money, money that they got from this horrible tax cut that was given to them by the Republicans in Congress. They're the ones who are funding those attacks. And the Washington Post gave it four Pinocchios because it's not true. The own communications director for the CLF PAC pretty much said in a statement that it doesn't matter if it's not true or not. They're just going to continue to attack my character and my integrity. Because that's what they can't win on the issues.
So you are not raising this yourself, but the super PAC is raising it yourself. You're not legally allowed to communicate to a super PAC, but do you think that the super PAC should be doing this? Do you think this is a legitimate issue?
I'm not doing that. But you know what? Women should have the opportunity to come forward and tell their story. Women should be believed. Women should have the opportunity to tell their story without being intimidated and, you know, or pressured.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. You know, I believe women should be allowed to go and tell their story, and I've supported that. You know, and I think she's told her story. It's been out there in the news, and that's why nobody has kind of covered it.
Yeah.
But she has an opportunity, young Kim here has an opportunity to denounce these allegations because they're not false. I mean, they are false, and they're not.
But
they're
Gil,
not correct
those are
at all.
Not my ads. I don't have any.
But
connection.
You can still go and you could say that they're just like when President Obama was tearing families apart down at the border.
Truly, yes, to you that I believe women should be
you
believed.
Not, you did not make a statement saying that
I
was horrible yet either.
I have said it in the very strongest terms that I do not support the family separation. Look. I've said it's in the strongest
you
terms.
That. You didn't criticize the president
let's
at all.
Let's not make
all
right, it political.
Let's move on to something a little bit lighter hearted, which is what we call personal issues here on the show, where we have 30 seconds to learn a little bit about you guys. We're going to go through these and give each of you an opportunity to answer, and maybe we'll find some agreement, right? Okay, so let's start. Favorite movie?
One that I recently saw, Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
So I have 4-year-old twins, so we're big on watching the Cars and the Toy Story movies right now.
Speaking of that, favorite Disneyland ride?
It's Buzz Lightyear.
Okay.
I haven't been to Disneyland, but, you know, one of those cups. What is that? You have little kids.
The teacups.
Teacups,
okay.
Yes.
Best thing about being a Californian?
Beautiful sunshine, wonderful weather, and if you're a business entrepreneurs, you can just take your laptop, go anywhere, and work in a satellite office called Starbucks.
Okay.
I lived all over the world. The Navy took me around the world. I lived in the four corners of the United States, and there is no greater place in the world to live than in California.
And just to wrap things up, one sentence, why somebody should vote for you?
Because I've dedicated my life to service. It's always been that way, and I just want to continue my service in the United States Congress.
People know in the district that I've been a fighter. I've always worked in a bipartisan, independent way. I've proven track record serving in the California State Assembly. This is the community I know. That's why that sets me apart with my opponent.
All right. Well, thank you both for sharing your views, and nice to have a respectful dialogue. Best of luck to both of you on the campaign trail.
And
we'll be right back with more of The Issue Is. Nicely done.
Thank you. Alex. Thanks for having both of us.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks.
Oh, stay. We're going to get one shot. They're taking a shot of that real quick. So if we just stay there for 30 seconds.
What newspapers and magazines did you regularly read before you were tapped for this to stay informed and to understand the
I've
world?
I've read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like what one specifically? I'm curious that you...
All of them.
Well, it's been 10 years since Katie Couric's revealing interview with then-VP nominee Sarah Palin. Brian Goldsmith produced that interview, and he and Katie just released a documentary podcast looking behind the scenes. Brian, what are your big takeaways from that experience?
Well, it's been 10 years, and the podcast documentary is about more than Sarah Palin and her failings in that interview. I mean, it was very striking, of course, that she didn't know a lot of the basic substance that you would expect somebody running for national office to know that the McCain campaign failed to vet her properly. But what we really wanted to ask was, what was her long-term impact on politics? And I'm not sure that she caused Donald Trump, but she was, I think, the canary in the coal mine for this kind of right-wing populist politics built on image and charisma a lot more than substance and policy.
Sean, do you think that there could be a President Trump without Sarah Palin?
Oh, yeah, I do, but I think I can't disagree with Brian, and I thought that was a revealing breakthrough moment, and it was sad for Sarah because she was not a policy wonk by any means. But on the other hand, the vitriol from some feminists against the first genuine female, well, not first, but one of the first Republican female candidates for vice president was shameful and embarrassing and an unnecessary.
Could there be President Trump without Sarah Palin?
Well, I think the real question is, Alex, could there be a President Trump without the Russian and the hacking of our election?
That was a very effective
pivot. The disinformation and the propaganda targeted to certain precincts that were voting. That's the real question.
All right. Well, you know what? We've had a good debate, but I want to have some fun, right? It's Friday night.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a Friday night dance party. And Gloria, you've been on before, and you've said the only way that you'll come back on our show is if we dance together, because we've danced in the past. So we want to get some music going. And this is a song. Do you hear this right now?
Excellent.
Here we go, Gloria.
Excellent.
Wow.
Guys, get into it.
Historic moment. I'm glad we're here
for this. Gloria.
Nice going. Gloria.
Teach me your move. This is it? Let's see it, Sean. Come on.
Yes. Not bad, but they can do it.
Thank you for watching The Issue Is.
Bill Cosby's
have a great weekend.
Have to dance quickly in the shower in prison.
Oh, my God. Oh, she went there.
On that, we'll drop the mic.
There.
She's
a good
weekend.
Wow. Wow. Okay, quick. Cameraman.